pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who redeems us. Amen. Recently, I came across the following story. Dear Frank, we've been neighbors for 6 tumultuous years. When you borrowed my tiller, you returned it in pieces. When I was sick, you blasted rap music. And when your dog went to the bathroom all over my lawn, you laughed. I could go on, but I'm certainly not one to hold grudges. So I'm writing this letter to tell you that your house is on fire. Cordially, Bob. I think Bob is having problems with loving his neighbor. And I share that story because it seems like many people and many nations today are having trouble loving their neighbors. In our case, I mean loving our neighbors north and south of our borders. About a month and a half or more ago, the current administration instituted a zero-tolerance policy towards immigrants crossing our southern border. In an effort to punish those who had families to cross a border, tried to cross our border, the children were separated. The children were taken away from their parents. They also instituted a policy that said that they would not even allow asylum seekers to pursue asylum in our country, but would arrest them because they believe most of all people wanting asylum only said that to get into the country. Now, I would remind you that we have a law that says anybody who comes seeking asylum is to be granted a hearing. And I also would remind you that some asylum seekers are telling the truth. In an edition of the Guardian newspaper, which is a highly regarded newspaper, we read the following. The Guardian has confirmed 3 separate cases of Honduran men who have been gunned down shortly after being deported by the U.S. government. Each was murdered in their hometown soon after they returned. One just a few days after he was expelled from the U.S. I would also say Amnesty International has documented cases of asylum seekers being deported back and killed upon their return. And I heard recently of a 13-year-old girl who was deported back and was killed within a few days after she had been returned. There is an incredible amount of violence, gang violence, in El Salvador, in Honduras, and Guatemala. And that's where predominant many of the people seeking asylum are coming from. And against the resistance that arose last month over the separating of children from their parents and holding them in cages and the zero tolerance policy of the administration, the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, on June 14th said the following. Illegal entry into the United States is a crime, as it should be. He said, persons who violate the law of our nation are subject to prosecution. I would cite to you the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained them for the purpose of order. This is a gross distortion of Romans 13. But more importantly, it's a gross distortion of the witness of the entire scriptures. And I would like to remind us that Romans 13 has been used erroneously throughout history to keep certain segments of our society impoverished. In a piece entitled, What Jeff Sessions Got Wrong When Quoting the Bible, Reverend Dr. Margaret Eimer, professor of New Testament studies at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and Laura Nasrallah, professor of New Testament and Early Christianity at Harvard Divinity School, share the following. Romans 13 has been used to argue for theocracy and unquestioned obedience to the law in the face of oppression. Within the United States, Romans 13 was used to undergird the 1850 Fugitive Slave Act, which required U.S. citizens to return individuals who had escaped from enslavement to their owners. In the 1980s, Reformed Christians such as H.C. Hoeksma used Romans 13 to argue against resisting apartheid in South Africa. Sessions' argument that U.S. citizens should unquestionably submit and obey to governing authorities followed these lines of argumentation. Sessions was thinking only of the first part of Romans 13. However, in verses 9 through 10, we hear the Apostle Paul write the following. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in the words, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If human law forces people to act in ways that do not love others, do not love their neighbors, then the human law must be voided. Leviticus speaks of welcoming the alien, loving the alien as we love ourselves. Jesus responds to the lawyer's question of who his neighbor is with a good Samaritan story. Now think for a moment. The priest passed him by, the Levite passed him by, but the Samaritan, and this is in Judea, the Samaritan, who was considered in Judea to be as bad or worse than many say that illegal aliens are in our country. And yet, he was the one who knew what it meant to love his neighbor as himself, to love the alien. He was the paragon of virtue in the parable, the outsider. Now, people would ask me, what can we do? We just cannot open up our borders and let anybody in. I suppose not. But we can take those seeking asylum at their word until proven otherwise. We owe it to them. It's in our laws. Their life, according to the words of Jesus, their life is as precious as our own. That is loving our neighbor as ourselves. And think about it. If we lived in a country like El Salvador, Guatemala, or Honduras, would we not flee with our families to try to find safety and security? To keep them safe? And it's the same thing that's happening in the Middle East and Europe as well. People are trying to find safety for their families, to get out of the hot spots of the world. My friends, our Attorney General had it all wrong. There is no way to read the Bible and believe that it sanctions ripping families apart. You can't take a verse and say that that's what the Bible says. That's called proof texting, and it's done an awful lot. A lot of violence has been done to humanity because people have proof-texted verses from the Bible to give divine sanction to their bad actions. I could proof-text and say the Bible gives me license to stone people who commit adultery. After all, we read that the people were going to stone the adulterous woman because their law said they could. And they questioned Jesus about it. And that's when Jesus pulled his quietness for a little bit and then said, let you without sin cast the first stone. And nobody cast a stone. we have to read the rest of the story. We have to look at the whole of Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian Scriptures. May God help us to stand up to those who would do evil under the guise of religious sanction. Or, as I have shared before, never is evil so evil as when it is done under the guise of religion. The law of God is the one that must be fulfilled. And the laws of humanity must be fulfilled only as they follow the laws of God. That's our duty as Christians. That's how we love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our nation, may we ponder where we've come from. Think about our history and what we've been through. How we sought our freedom as cast-offs from Britain, and Britain tried to create impossible situations for us. And we broke away from it because we said their laws were wrong. Think about the Civil War, when they used religion to sanction keeping Negroes and black people enslaved. And we fought a war and people died because of it, to free those people. We need to remember our history. We need to remember what we've overcome and celebrate that we are a country that cares for people. All people. That, my friends, is how we become great and how we became great. And I pray that we will never forget that. Amen.